I've asked Beth Stevens to give her testimony today because we were together with Beth and a few other people in a prayer meeting, and she began telling what the Lord's doing in her life, and I thought that would be a great introduction to what we're going to talk about today. So I've asked Beth to come up here and tell us what God's been doing in her life.
Bless God. Amen? I'll start out with a little something that happened this morning in my house, my apartment. My husband had made kind of a mess that I felt was unnecessary. And ladies, you know how we can be sometimes. And he said to me, he's got very, very dry humor, "Little darling, you need to focus on the privilege of being married to me and not the burden." And I started to laugh, and he said, "That's right, Missy. I mean the privilege and not the burden." And as I got thinking about what has been occurring, it's just really exciting. It really is. I live in an apartment complex near Beaumont, so there's quite a few doctors and so on that live in the buildings that are in training. And there was a young lady that lived across the hall from us, and she's from Pakistan. And so she'd get a lot of packages coming, and just being a neighbor, just being normal, not, "Ooh, I'm going to win her to Christ by bringing in her packages." I started bringing the packages in off the porch, and I'd stick them by her door. So she said to me, "Have you been doing the packages for me?" And I said, "Yes." Well, she starts crying. And she said, "I feel like somebody's looking after me. Thank you so much." And her parents had come from Pakistan, and we got to meet each other, and, you know, hello. That was about it. So in the meantime, Mom came back for a visit, and her name is Nuzhat. And I began to realize I wasn't real excited about being real social with Muslims. Well, I've got family in Israel, and as far as I'm concerned, that's who's against my family. But this was so deep in me, I didn't even believe, you know, I didn't even know it was there. So Nuzhat and I began to chit-chat, and they invited my husband and I to come for the end of the Feast of Ramadan because we had brought packages in off the porch. And so we went, we had a great time, it was really good. And in the meantime, Nuzhat had said, "I'd like to have coffee with you." And so we began to share just normal conversation, mom to mom, adult kids that you've got concerns about, just normal. So on one of the occasions, she'd asked me some questions. And again, my thoughts weren't, "Ooh, I'm going to like win her to Christ in three easy steps." And so as we just continued to talk, I was sharing my stories of the faithfulness of God in my own life. And I looked up from something I was looking at on the table. She had out paper and pen, and she took 4 pages of notes that day. Nobody's ever taken notes when I went to have coffee with them. And she said, "How do you spell El Shaddai? How do you spell that word?" And so we just continued on. And we've just gone back and forth, and just had a great time again the other day. But what impressed her, and this has blown me away, she's a very formal woman, extremely well-educated, and extremely wealthy. I am not extremely wealthy, and I don't even have a college degree. I have my nursing diploma, and that's it. But as we sit and talk, and she's seen me be willing to do, that did a lot for her. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just being normal. Sometimes we get what I call, as a pastor's kid, spooky. "God, I'm praying for divine appointments today." We do it in that tone of voice, don't we? We get weird. That's the word I would use as as the person that I am. But divine appointments have been chasing me down. When she wanted me to come and have coffee, and it was the day that I shared my stories with her, she had called me twice. She had left a note on my door I wasn't trying to arrange a situation where we could like meet up in the hall, and it would just be really cool because I could just ask her. I was just me. And that's what I want to encourage you, as we just serve people, our surrounding people, ask them how they're doing. Ask them how their kids are doing. You don't have to present the four spiritual laws in the first 3 seconds. I go to the store. My daughter refers to my Kroger friends. Sarah's 32, and I think she's very funny. She said, "Mom, you know these people aren't really your friends, don't you?" So, of course, Sarah, thank you so much. But as I'm in the store and I greet different ones that I see periodically, they pour their hearts out. People in the stores, at different times I've been saying, "I'm a follower of Christ." If it's the time to say Yeshua, the Lord lets me know. If it's the time to say Christ, he lets me know that too. We're led by the Spirit, right? No one has ever said, when I've offered, "You look upset. Can I pray with you? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." No one has ever said no. No one has ever said no, please. And they thank you after. Get a marketing call, which I find incredibly annoying. He asked me, you know, like 60 questions. "Can I ask you a question?" I said. The Lord prompted me, said, "Ask her." I said, "Did you know God loves you and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you?" And the telemarketer began to weep. She said, "How did you know I've been away from God?" And she talked to me for a few minutes. She said, "I got to hang up. My supervisor's coming and I'm not supposed to be crying when I'm doing this." So we can be led everywhere we are, wherever we go and wherever we can serve. Just recently, the church that my husband and I attend on Sunday mornings had an outreach for homeless people. They stayed at our church. And again, I realized there was a little attitude in me that I didn't know was there. I had been on staff at a large church. I've done many women's seminars, taught Bible at a Christian high school, and thought, I don't need to clean toilets anymore. I did that when I was younger. So I was asking of the Lord, "What should I do for this week?" He said, "I want you to go every day and clean the toilets." I said, "You got to be kidding." So I went every morning with my best friend, who's just a gift to me, and the Lord, she really is. We just have a good time. We've been told we act like two teenage girls because we laugh all the time. And I said, "Lord, you saved the best for last." My best friend, as I'm 60, is this gal. But we went every day, and with great joy, we cleaned toilets, mopped floors, wiped down tables, and did what we needed to do. And I tell you, I felt like I got changed again, because Jesus never, ever asked us to do anything that he didn't do himself. Doesn't that do a lot for you? I had a boss, a doctor I worked for. She never asked the nurses to do anything she herself did not do. She would be on her hands and knees defrosting our little refrigerator. I went above and beyond. I loved working there. I loved working for her. It was no big deal. I loved to do what I did. She ended up taking me to New York a couple of times and got to see Broadway plays, took me to Florida. She said, "I can't pay you as much as I want to because it's a group practice. But because you've done so much," are you getting this? And sometimes we don't focus on the privilege of our Lord. We focus on the burden. "Oh, I've got a witness." No, just be. Just be. Just be who you are. God has called us to be. And God is answering prayers like crazy. Yesterday, somebody came over, had a horrible headache. Something else. I said, "Well, you know, let me pray for you." Laid hands on her. The headache was gone. Not because I prayed for her, but because the one I serve was right there. And as we continue to fill up with his word, and we continue to meditate on his word, and we continue to talk to him all day long. I have devotions all day. I run 2.5 to 3 miles. I started this almost a year ago. And I can finally now talk while I run. It's a big achievement. It really is. But I'm worshiping God the whole time I'm out running. My devotions go on all day. And I've noticed over the last couple of years, the more I've been doing this activity, the more I can't put it any other way, but the atmosphere around me has been charged. And it doesn't make me less to clean toilets. It doesn't make me less to ask you, what can I do to help you? I love to wait on my husband. My husband goes to work, my husband comes home. That's it. When I work full-time and when I've been home full-time, I get his coffee for him. I bring it into him. I've had people comment at parties, wow, you wait on that guy all the time. I said, it's my joy. Are you seeing the difference in our attitude? When it's our joy to serve, when it's our joy to share, when you're celebrating the goodness of the Lord, I mean, I like party with our God, and I'm not using a demeaning term. It's a party all the time. It's a glorious day, every day, no matter how I feel. If I feel grumpy, which I did this morning when I got up and saw the mess, and it was pointed out to me that I needed to celebrate the privilege of being married to Charles instead of the burden of being married to Charles. And so it is with our following Christ, the one who went ahead of us, the one who does everything in advance, the one who orders your steps. I'm telling you, divine appointments chase me down. I don't have to go looking for them. I don't have to set up, you know, try to set it up. You know what I'm talking about. How many of you know have experienced that? Let me see if I can just say this when I go to the family dinner. If I can just say something for Jesus. Just be real. Let them know they're loved. The love of God can flow through us. I can't in myself love anybody. I have nothing in me that desires to serve anybody. That's my natural self. My mother used to call me the queen growing up. Oh, the queen doesn't like what we have for dinner today. She asked me where my brother and sisters were. I said, the peasants are out in the yard. That was really my attitude. I was 8 years old. The peasants are out in the yard. Okay, that's an arrogant kid. But God has taken that and given me the privilege and the great joy of desiring to be his servant. Lord, how can I serve? Can I talk to somebody on the phone? Can I, you know, say hey to somebody while I'm out running? As long as they can keep up, they can go with me. But I tell you, it's been a glorious thing, and I'm watching God answer prayers. Did you ever hear Christians say, and can you believe it? They got healed. Are you kidding me? I can't believe it if they don't get healed. Do you see the change in attitude or mentality? Oh, Lord, you can if you will. Yeah. You know, the man that came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can heal my son. And when you get out the broader translation of the Greek, Jesus said, if I will, in a really loud voice. Of course I will. That's the understood. Absolutely I will. So whatever we come asking and believing, and it's like getting really exciting to me. It really is. I'm having so much fun with this, of seeing who I can pray for, who I can be real to, who I can just be loving to. Say, Lord, you know my arrogant past, but flow through me. Let me be a conduit of your love. People need to know God loves them. People are freaked out in today's world. People are really close to the edge in today's world. So you and I, by doing what our master has told us to do, if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, learn to be a servant of everybody. My kid sister used to sing that to me when she wanted me to get something for her. Learn to be a servant of all, Beth. Learn to be a servant of all. I wanted to deck her. She just wanted me to wait on her. That was the wrong attitude. But that's it. Learn to be a servant of all. It's a learning process. Some of us are quick to see a need. Some of us need to learn how to do it, right? We need to learn. It's a learning process, but it's exciting, and I am having a ball. At age 60, I am having a great time, and I'm enjoying the journey. I really am. And I'll tell you, cleaning those toilets, the pastor had written a little note to my friend and I. He said, I didn't hear any whistling while you worked, but I heard so much laughter. And that was the thing everyone noticed that came in and out of the building. We were laughing. We were laughing and wiping and cleaning. And it had to be done all over again the next day. It was just as filthy. I don't like repetitive tasks. You know, cleaning you got to do all the time, right? But we did it. And we did it with great joy. So I just encourage you today, whatever he asks you to do, and you don't have to be really outgoing. I'm outgoing. I understand that. You can be quieter, but you can reach people that I would overwhelm with my personality. You can reach people that I'll never be able to reach. And it doesn't say that you know, you'll receive power after the Spirit comes on you, Jesus said, to be my witnesses, to be my servants, if you're really outgoing and you have leadership qualities. It was to all of us. So that's what I want to leave you with today. Focus on the privilege of getting to be a servant. And not on the burden.